This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Amy Scott. The mask mandate on airplanes and other public transportation is up in the air. Yesterday, the Justice Department appealed a judge's decision to lift the mandate earlier this week. Also yesterday, the Federal Aviation Administration said its zero tolerance policy for unruly airline passengers will become permanent. Many of the record number of incidents of bad behavior in the past couple of years have been aimed at the flight attendants tasked with enforcing mask wearing. This is far from the first hardship flight attendants have faced on the job, and that history is the subject of The Great Stewardess Rebellion, a new book by Nell McShane Wolfhart about how women flight attendants in the 1960s and 70s fought to change their industry. Welcome to the program.
Thanks so much, Amy. Happy to be here.
So I think people have a vague idea that the job of flight attendant has changed a lot over the years and used to be, you know, highly gendered. But just reading this book, it's kind of a staggering reminder of just how sexist this workplace was. What did it take to be a stewardess in the 1960s?
Well, back in the 1960s, even just to get the job, you had to meet a number of what we would consider now bizarre requirements. You had to be extremely thin. You had to meet certain weight limits. And if you gained a few pounds, you could be pulled off the flight. You couldn't wear glasses. You couldn't be married. You couldn't be pregnant or have kids. And you had to be generally in your late teens or early 20s, because when you turned 32, you would be fired.
Okay, so I'm out. I've been out for some time.
Me too.
But given all that and the pretty low pay, how did airlines manage to get women to want these jobs?
It's actually amazing. When you look at the ads that were recruiting stewardesses back in the 60s, they sell this extremely glamorous life. And I think that's even what we think of now when we think about the golden age of travel, you know, Don Draper and cocktails in first class. You know, the allure of the stewardess was so powerful. Everyone just thought of her as this glamorous, beautiful woman that it was a really aspirational job.
It's interesting, though, those same ads really sexualized stewardesses and became a big point of contention for the union groups that eventually overturned a lot of these rules. How did the ads kind of backfire on the industry?
Well, the ads backfired in a way in that they got bad publicity when the stewardesses got mad about them, but they really worked for the industry in that they sold a lot of airplane tickets. I think the most famous ad was an ad that National Airlines ran in the early 70s with a picture of like a smiling white young woman looking right at the camera. And the tagline was, "I'm Linda, fly me." And they ran this huge campaign that was all like, "I'm Cheryl, fly me," all using photos of real stewardesses. And although ads up to that point had definitely sexualized the stewardesses, the Fly Me campaign was the one that really got them out on the streets protesting. And their signs read, "Go fly yourself," which is one of my favorites.
I think I want to use that. As you describe so powerfully in the book, stewardesses weren't just facing sexism in the cabin, but in the union that was supposed to be fighting for them. And eventually they created their own union and fought against many of these sexist policies successfully. How did that change the industry and the job?
Well, like we described, there was sort of this very sexist attitude towards women. And in the 60s and into the 70s, the feminist movement, you know, was really taking off. And I think the difference between what these women could see happening in the streets and the changes they could see happening in the rest of the world and the sort of time warp that they entered when they stepped into the airplane cabin and they had to wear a girdle and, you know, get weighed before they got on the plane, those were things that really started to grate on them. It was that contrast. And it was a combination of, yeah, their unions and lawsuits and complaints with the EEOC that finally brought about these changes. But it was, you know, an uphill slog all the way, and it took many years.
It's interesting. You were, I imagine, writing this book, or at least finishing it, during a time of massive upheaval in the travel industry during the COVID-19 pandemic, and at a time when flight attendants have been in the news and facing, you know, extreme behavior from passengers. How did this history kind of affect how you thought about the moment now for these women and men who work as flight attendants.
I think a lot of the issues that we're seeing right now in the airplane cabin, there's really a through line from what was happening back in the 60s and 70s, the lack of respect towards flight attendants. And I think that's something that has been sort of emphasized by these, you know, ridiculous uniforms that airplanes used to make the stewardesses wear, like, you know, hot pants and go-go boots. It was almost like a deliberate, you know, way to make people take stewardesses less seriously. And I think that, like, you really can trace that up to now, in which, you know, passengers don't feel like they have to pay attention to the flight attendants and they don't have to do what they say, even though really those flight attendants are there to make sure that, you know, everyone gets off the plane alive and that everything goes okay. But I do think there are some lessons that flight attendants of today can learn from the way that flight attendants back in the 60s and 70s managed to make change. And one of those, of course, is through their union.
Nell McShane Wolfhart is author of The Great Stewardess Rebellion. Fascinating story. Thank you so much for sharing it with us.
Thanks so much, Amy. This is really fun.